is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, it's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another message today, our continuing series. It's entitled Gone Berserk. This is the first session, of course, today, but we're going to be talking about this for several, weekends, because this is so powerful. Gone berserk. You know, God tells us that His gospel brings people to a sound mind. Now, the world may think we're crazy. That's all right. But God, listen to me. You believe in the gospel of Jesus, and He will give you a sound mind. On the other hand, if you believe in falsehoods and reject Jesus, He eventually will turn you over to a reprobate mind. The world, you see, is basically a loony bin. It's an insane asylum, and the inmates are running the show. But there are just a few of us who have escaped the bonds of earth. You've escaped it, and you are citizens of heavenly Jerusalem. You're already situated in heavenly places, the Bible says. A lot of people don't understand the kingdom of God. Pretty soon I'm going to have a whole series on that. They believe that it can come by observation, by sight. They believe that it is a certain place at a certain time. But I want to tell you, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you, if you know Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is wherever God is. And He makes His abode in the very hearts of men and women who have faith in Him. Jesus says the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. He told the Jews of His day. Because He was the kingdom of God. Friends, listen to me. The kingdom of God is not some kind of heavenly set of World Trade Centers and gigantic skyscrapers and buildings and wonderful gold gleaming places, although the Bible does equate it to that in a sense, so we can understand it with our human minds as limited as we are. But the closer you come to the mind of Christ, the more you understand that Jesus Christ's kingdom is Jesus Christ. And the riches, the greatest riches that He offers men and women are His peace and His love. This is the greatest riches a person can have. But there are those out there that are seeking other things, and they have gone insane. They have gone berserk, and unfortunately the Christian, so-called Christian establishment is rife with these kinds of people. I'm going to be giving you some examples of these kinds of people. And some of their teachings. I'll probably name some names. It'll get me in trouble. It always does. And I'll get threats. And I'll get people who call me names and all that other stuff. But I don't care about that. I just care about the truth. And the Bible tells us to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. That's in Jude. It doesn't tell us to go along, to compromise, to yoke ourselves with unbelievers. It tells us to rebuke, to exhort, to reprove. Have no part with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them, it says in the Bible, in Ephesians. And we're going to do exactly that. And I believe some of you are going to say, wow, now that is a sound mind speaking. Wow, things are much more clear. I can see the whole world with clarity now. Because the gospel, my friends, is just like a wonderful babbling brook, and it's gone over all the rocks and through all the sand, and it's being purified. And you take it in your hand and you just watch the drops fall. And oh, how clear and how beautiful, how pure it is. For God's word itself is pure. How can we judge a man's ministry or a woman's ministry for that matter? Through the spectacles of the pure word of God. That's all. We cannot look at things as the world sees them. I want to tell you today, when I read the newspapers and magazines and I watch television, I see all kinds of men and women trying to reach people with bad methods. They actually say, I'm of God and I want you to come to Christ. That's why today I'm dressed like Harry Potter in a wizard's costume with a cone hat. That brings a lot of people in our church. Today we've got rock and roll to bring you. We have a rock and roll concert. And they think that'll bring people to God. I've seen people get up and dress as clowns, yes, with the painted face and the big bulbous nose and all of those things and say, I'm a clown for Jesus. No, you're a clown for the devil, my friends. No respect for the house of God. In this series on Gone Berserk, I'm going to be telling you about a minister of one of America's largest churches. He actually had his church people bring in a bed from a bedroom. I mean, with a mattress and box springs and all, a bed, and put it on the platform. And as hundreds and hundreds of people watching, thousands by television, he and his wife got in bed and simulated the sex act. You say, no, Tex. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. It's horrible. You'll see that. You'll hear that. You'll know of the church and the man that did this. Put a bed on the platform in front of the altar in the church, and he and his wife in their skimpy things got into bed and pretended they were having sex. And she cried out in ecstasy there on the bed. But they were only teaching biblical lessons, they said. A man named Arnold Fruchtenbaum recently put out a book about the wonderful sex that was taught in the Bible, in the Song of Solomon. Have holy sex. Why, it's taught in the Bible. This man claims to be a Messianic Jewish Christian. And oh, he's highly, highly rated and applauded by Messianic Jews who claim they're Christians. He has a sex manual for you. Gone Berserk. These people have lost all vestiges of a sound mind. They are not sober. They're not ready for the kingdom. Oh, my friends, when Jesus comes, what are these men going to say? What shame, what red faces they will have. And I just pray they make it to the kingdom. I pray somehow that God will forgive them. As for you, my friends, stay with the things that the Bible teaches you. Stay with those things. And we're going to be talking about all these things. It's going to be quite a series. And every week you're going to hear some more horror stories. But you're also going to hear what the Bible has to say about that. It doesn't do us any good to expose the devil unless we tell you what God's word says. And bring you the good news. How it should be. How it could be. If men would only listen to the truth of God's word. Now, I know it'd be better for me just to get along with all the pastors. Like Rodney King said there in California, can't we all just get along? Some people said, Tex, you just say these things just to make money. To make money? Are you out of your mind? I had a brother some years ago. He was in the oil business. He didn't understand either. At that time, he hadn't trusted Jesus as a Savior. He said, you know, in the oil business, we try to bring people in. The more people will come buy our brand of gasoline, the more we like it. But it seems like you just turn people off while you start telling them all these bad things. Wouldn't it be better just tell them all the good things and make them feel good? And then they'll want your religion. Well, I thought about that. I wondered for a split second, that is, why Jesus, when he went into the temple and he saw the money changers there, why he got so angry, he overturned their tables and told them, "You've made this the temple into a den of thieves." Why would he do that? Why didn't he go in and say, "Oh, isn't this wonderful? You're all making a lot of money off of God. Oh, my, my. As long as you give 10% and tithing, it's a wonderful thing. Let's all just get along." Why didn't he tell the money changers that? Didn't he know they would hate him for doing what he did? Didn't he know by cleaning up the temple and sanctuary, didn't he know what the result would be? Didn't he know they'd want to kill him? Yes, he knew. We get threats against Texmar's life here. We get people vulgar calling us. They're mad. They're angry. You know what I say? It proves my point. They've gone berserk. The world has gone berserk, and we're at enmity with the world as Christians. I could make so much money if I just made everybody happy. You don't make money making people mad by telling them the truth. You make them love you. My brother put it this way. It's the old saw. He said, "You know, you can get more people with honey than you can with sandpaper." But God's word is full of sandpaper. Jesus told the Jews of his day, "You're of your father the devil," sandpaper. Elijah told the king and queen, can you imagine? That's like Bill and Hillary Clinton or George W. and his beloved in Washington, D.C. Can you believe what he told those people? They were headed hell, straight for hell. Nathan told King David, he stuck his finger in his face and said, "You're that man. And if you don't repent, you're going to hell." I'm just sort of paraphrasing what Nathan said. Read it for yourself there, of course, in the Old Testament. Why didn't Nathan go in and say, "Oh, great king, I love you. It doesn't matter what your behavior, you're chosen of God"? Why did Elijah tell Ahab and Jezebel, "You know, there's a lot of good things about you. That makeup you're wearing, Jezebel, ooh, it looks pretty on you. And as far as you, King Ahab, how smart you were to take the orchard and the vineyard of Naboth. I mean, boy, y'all were so clever in how you did that." Instead, he said, "King and queen, you're going to split hell wide open." And Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill that man." And I'm paraphrasing her again, but it's pretty close to it. "I'm going to kill him. We're going to get him." Friends, when you start exposing how the Christian church, so-called today, not really the Christian church, I call it the Christian establishment, has gone berserk, people will make fun of you. They will ridicule you. They'll call you judgmental. They'll say you're evil. They'll say you're bigoted. They'll point it out that you're politically incorrect. They'll say, "Why can't you just love everybody? Why can't you just think all good thoughts all the time? Why are you so negative?" They will have 1,000 things to say bad about you. But then after all, they did that about the apostles. They did that to the prophets, and they did that to Jesus. And are you, dear friend, any better than Jesus? I think not. Jesus said, "If they kill me, the Son of God, what do you think they're going to do to you? If they take the master and slay him, what do you think they're going to do to the servants?" Back in the days of Egypt, when a Pharaoh died, it was bad news for all the servants. Bad news. Because when a Pharaoh died, they would take and slay all his servants because they thought that in the next world, he would need those servants. They believed in reincarnation. And he was used to those servants. He wanted them around him, the familiar faces. And so if he had 500 to 700 servants, from cooks to bottle washers, you might say, I mean, whatever it was, people played the music for him at court, and people that washed the floors down, and the people that helped to build the thing, and the people that cooked his food, and on and on and on. People that helped him to get dressed and made his clothing. All of those people they took, and with the sword, they slayed them all. And they buried them with the Pharaoh. Of course, he had a favorite place, you know, whether it was in a pyramid or some sarcophagus. But listen to me. The point is, the servants went when the king did. Now, I want you to understand something, my friends. You're not better than King Jesus. And if they did these things to the master in the green, imagine what they're going to do to you in the dry. Why? Simply because you have the courage to say, this is not right. And you know, that's all it takes. I heard the testimony of Glenn Campbell, the famous country singer, about how he came to know Jesus. He'd gone the way of the world and he got into drugs and living in adultery and all kinds of terrible things. Then he went home to a little town in Arkansas, Delight, Arkansas, I think it only had 400 or 500 people. That's where his mom and dad lived. He came to visit him, and his mom somehow knew that he was going the wrong way. You know, mothers just started to know those things about their kids. Glenn said she didn't really give him a wind-up kind of sermon. He probably needed somebody to sit down and preach to him about 3 hours, but she didn't do that. She just said, Glenn, you know you're not doing right. You know you're not doing right. Glenn said, boy, that just touched my heart. When Mama told me, son, you know you're not doing right. I think God does that sometimes to us, doesn't he? He doesn't make a big list of your sins. A lot of people think, well, I have to go to confession to the Catholic priest this week and I have to list all my sins. You know, God knows them already. God is just saying to you, you're not doing what's right. And I pray that's all it will take. These people that have gone berserk, they're not doing what's right. That's all there is to it. Oh, I chronicle it. I catalog it. I give you examples of it. But you know, when it comes down to it, friend, they're just not doing what's right. And when you do what's right and you expose these things, the world's going to be after you. But so what? That puts you in the best of company, doesn't it? You're in company with all the saints. You're in company with millions of saints that were slain for their testimony. You're in good company. And now we're going to have a song. Beautiful song. This is the Cathedrals singing. My favorite group, really. The Cathedrals are going to sing. There's just something about that name. And then we're going to have our message, part one today of Gone Berserk. If you want to write to us, I'd love to hear from you. If you want to support this ministry, if God leads you to, please do so. And now here are the Cathedrals.
Jesus, there's something about that name, Master, Savior,
away.
We'll all pass away.
But there's something.
But there's something.
No other name given among men whereby you must be saved.
Because I love thee, you have given.
You to understand something. When I talk about the Christian establishment or the Christian community, I'm really not talking about the Christian church. Please let me specify. Let me explain what I'm talking about. You see, the Bible says that the very gates of hell shall not prevail against the Christian church. Those who are of Jesus Christ, truly Christians, who believe in the Scriptures wholly, without reservation, we're of a different character entirely than what I call a Christian establishment. We're not the establishment. If we were of the establishment would love us. But we are hated and despised by the so-called Christian establishment. The so-called Christian community, what some just call Christendom, hates the true Christian. Do you understand that, fellow Christian? Do you understand that you're hated and despised and loathed and rejected and snubbed and ostracized by those of the Christian community, the Christian establishment? Now, they call themselves the Christian church, but they're not the Christian church. They're a bunch of apostate fakes and hoaxers. If they were of the Christian church, they would not have gone berserk. And you're going to find, I'm going to give you some graphic examples. I'm going to name names. That's right. Now, if you don't like people to name names, please turn off your radio right now. Just go to it. There's a little knob on it. It says off and on. Yours may be the electronic model. You push a little button. And worst case basis, you just go to the wall and just pull out that plug. Or you take out the batteries if you've got a shortwave radio with batteries and you're using that. I wouldn't want you to hurt your eardrums by hearing the truth. I mean, it may pain you. And let me tell you something. I'm pretty pained myself by this stuff. Now, first of all, you say, by what authority do you expose these hoaxers and fakers? And I said, I'm going to name names. I'm going to give you dates. I'm going to give you graphic, specific examples of men and women in high positions of Christian leadership, so-called, who have gone nuts. They are wackos. They are crazy as loons if you compare what they're doing with what the Bible says. They've gone berserk. Again, I repeat to you, as I have many times before, we are biased. We are not neutral. We stand for Jesus Christ. We believe He's one with the Father and the Holy Ghost. He is forever God, and He is the one mediator between man and God. So we don't go for any infallible vicar of Christ over there in Rome. We don't go for any Christian celebrities. I don't pretend to be a celebrity. I'm not interested in being a celebrity. I believe in the power of prayer. That's what we believe in here. We believe that only God has salvation power through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. You know now what we believe in. Many people, they call us, they say, what do you guys believe? We say we're old-fashioned gospel. And you know, some of them don't know what that means anymore, but it's old-timey, old-fashioned gospel. Just what I told you. God is more powerful than the devil. That's one of the things we believe. We believe the devil's already been defeated. We believe in the power of the Holy Scriptures. We believe they're 100% correct. Always have been, always will be. They're pure. The King James was without error, no mixture of error. We believe God has preordained the future from the beginning, and He holds the future in His hand, and He holds your destiny. You, my friend, look in that mirror and know that He holds your destiny in His hand. Let me just tell you something. I have in front of me the Code of Ethics of the National Religious Broadcasters. And I'm going to read it to you because you'll find out why we are not members of the National Religious Broadcasters. We're not part of their code. We don't recognize their code. Their code of ethics. They have a code of ethics. That's right. According to them, we are unethical. Now, you can quote me on that. Tex Mars said, according to the NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters, and everybody from the 700 Club to, I don't know, Jimmy Swaggart, Pat Robertson, Paul Crouch, Billy Graham, they're all members of the NRB. Let me tell you why I'm not a member, though. There's 5 points of their code of ethics. Number 2 says, I will speak the truth in love without being unnecessarily offensive. You cannot be unnecessarily offensive. You got to just be a lover. So if you expose false teachers, criminals in Christendom, you will be offensive. That will be an offense. And they cannot allow that. I had a good friend from Milwaukee. They called him before their board. And they told him, we're going to take away your membership in the NRB because you have exposed this Christian psychologist group that you say are crooks. We cannot allow that. That's unnecessarily offensive, they told my good friend. Here's another one. Number 3, I will recognize and respect what the Lord is doing through other individuals and organizations while refraining from unnecessary criticism of them or conformity to them. In other words, I'll recognize and respect what the false teachers are doing, and I'll refrain from criticizing them.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.